Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, this is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and we are on day three of NAMM Show 2017, January 21, 2017. Here at Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation. I sound a little bit hyped up, don't I?
Yes.
We have had a wonderful morning. We've had the Grand Rally for Music Education, and I'm here with our musical artists that were our special guests today, Black Violin. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
I mean, I always say my coolness factor just went way up sitting here with you guys.
Yes.
So thank you so much. Had you ever been to a NAMM show before?
No, this is our first NAMM event. You know, just being here in NAMM has just been incredible. Going to the exhibit, I mean, it's just been amazing.
Yeah, and you too?
Yeah,
Kev, first time for
first
you?
Time won't be the last. It's been
Hope
amazing.
Not.
Yeah,
it's you guys got to come back and be with us.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We would love to. It was an amazing event this morning, and you know, just it fed our souls to be able.
Well,
to
Well, you
do
fed
that.
Our souls. All right, so let's tell us a story of Black Violin. Share the story and tell us a story of Black Violin. How many years together?
Well, we've been playing together. We met in high school in orchestra class, first day of high school, and we've been playing together. I think that was maybe about 95. So we're talking about 20 years ago.
I would say
years ago at this point.
Yeah, 20 sounds like about 20.
Yeah, 22 years ago we met, and you know, we just was playing classical music, but we are always influenced by hip hop. You know, we still are very influenced by hip hop, but we study classical but live hip hop, and you know, for us, we just wanted to put it together in a very careful proportion so that you don't lose either side, you know?
I'll tell you. I've been to a couple of shows and then saw your show today, and I think what's so fascinating about it is it's got such great nuance. It has such variety.
Exactly.
You know, you can tell that you guys had rigorous training, you know, that a little quiet is okay.
Yeah.
It's all right to bring it down,
it
and
is.
Then you take it,
and
can
take it
away.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you? Tell us.
I mean, just growing up playing the viola, it's just one of those situations where, you know, our environment was what it was, and the violin and viola kind of took us out of that environment and made us feel.
What was that environment like?
I mean, it was the hood, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
in Florida, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And, outside of Miami or no, Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale area, yeah. So
there were stuff around the corner that could mess you up if you really
definitely
right?
if you kind of just lean towards that. I mean, we had music, we had violin, viola that kind of took us out of that, you know, that type of environment, and we're absolutely grateful because of it. And we were fortunate to have those programs in our schools, because like particularly the school that I started in, literally the next year they canceled that program and I had to go to another school, you know what I mean? So if I didn't catch it that year, you know what I mean, I wouldn't have started playing the viola. So it is sad that they're cutting all these programs.
Well, but
right,
they're coming back too. I mean, have you been back to that to Fort Lauderdale? Or is the program?
Yeah, we live there.
Well,
yeah.
So is the program coming back?
The program is still there. It's the school we went to is a Dillard Center for the Performing Arts. So it's a performing arts high school. But like, you know, I did hear this week that the string program was sort of in danger. There's only 11 kids in the string program there, you know,
at Dillard,
you know. So the string program is in danger. The band, it's one of the best jazz bands in the state, so like, you know, the band is still doing well, theater's still doing well, I think dance is still good as well, but strings are suffering. So
and it's,
you know,
all part of a continuum. If there's strings feeding into a program, I mean, it's, and it takes like a generation of kids
exactly.
to rebuild.
Exactly.
And then I think the feeder school, which is also a school I went to, and we both went to Parkway Middle School, which is the feeder school to it, I think that's probably the issue. So we're going to definitely go play at both of those schools this year, just to help any way that we can. And just
you can
try
be
to,
a force.
Yeah,
you know,
trying to use our time and
but
energy.
No, the community has to make the decision. I mean, I'm putting on my big advocacy hat now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not as cool as your hat. the community has to say, we want this for our kids.
Absolutely.
And we want to be, and you guys, having been a product of those schools, you can go back and say, now all of you need to get together.
Yeah.
You need to go meet with that superintendent and say, and then you can contact the NAMP Foundation. We have not necessarily, you know, direct support, but we can bring them professional development and help them on, you know, connect with other successful schools in South Florida. So, you know, there's
true.
A way back. Because we are finding that overall music education, when it takes hold, really grows and it's really strong. So
we
got to build it back everywhere.
Yeah,
you know?
We have to. It's so necessary. You know what I mean? It's particularly for us. I mean, it's so necessary. And, you know, just as, you know, and particularly when you think about South Florida, you know, sports is just such a huge thing. You know what I mean? It's just like you got UM, you got UF. It's just like all the kids see is the football players, the basketball players. So we got to get, we have to get these communities to understand that there's other ways of expressing. And to me, arts, what it did for me is allow me to just open up my mind. And yeah, I'm a professional viola player, but I could have been anything else because of the arts. You know what I mean? And that's the thing that we try to engage with these kids, and also the parents. It's important that the parents understand that it isn't just it's not just football, it's not just sports, it's other things. And a lot of time it's also the education system as well. I mean, they give up on these things. They give up on the arts. They give up on strings. They just, because they're just feeding the sports. You know what I mean? And the kids see that, and the adults see that. And it's just like, okay, that's just, it's just what it is. So I know we have a lot of voice than most people. And, you know, we try to use our voice as much as we can, and particularly back home.
I know, and you did today. You know, you told your story in a very compelling way. And I just want to say that, encourage you to continue to do that, because you,
definitely,
as artists, you really have a voice. And, you know, in your hometown, you know, Fort Lauderdale, just keep going back, going back, and going back. And then one day, three or four parents are going to come together, an assistant superintendent, and the right people will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you will spark a rejuvenation. You know, and we've seen it over and over and over.
Definitely.
So, and as you said, our kids now need it more than ever.
Yeah.
You know, wherever they are, right?
Yeah.
So how many days of the year are you on the road? You guys have quite a life now.
Yeah.
You are out there doing the main program, right?
Yep. I mean, we average somewhere between 130 to 150 shows a year, somewhere around there. Right now we're at the start of a 17-day California run, and we get like a few days off and then go on a 15-day kind of a Texas run. So it's just, you know, it's constant. This is how we live, and you know, but it's great. We're so blessed to be able to do this and to, you know, play violin and viola for a living in front of a bunch of sold out crowds. You know what I mean? It's amazing to be able to do this, and you know, and then still to take it back to education, it's always, you know, interesting that we just started in a public school system. I mean, I didn't have lessons. I didn't have any of that. I just had a second period. I had a class, and I took it seriously, and got a full scholarship. And
yeah, both of you went to school on full scholarships, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, hello.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's you know, that's the thing too, you know, and also too, the culture of classical music, I think we have to do a better job of being more inclusive, you know what I mean, in terms of just like, I don't know, it's just, you know, for me, if I grew up where I grew up, for me to just want to go to classical concerts is just something that never came to my mind, you know, so I think classical music in the genre and the culture in itself need to do a better job of just being more inclusive. I think we bridged the gap, you know what I'm saying, in terms of just, you know, a lot of different kinds of people seeing our concert. Now they're more likely to want to listen to Beethoven or Mozart piece, you know what I'm saying, vice versa. So, you know, and I think that's one side of it as well. You know, just the culture just need to evolve and grow and be more inclusive. That way the little kids, you know what I'm saying, can look at a piece or listen to a piece and just have more appreciation for it, you know?
You know, I went to your concert, your show. It's really, you know, it's a concert show. It's really, you know, in Purchase, New York, which is just down the street from where I live. And I was just thrilled to see families in the audience. I mean, it is a real family celebration. Parents are bringing their kids to come and hear something.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it was, probably the most diverse musical music show audience I've ever seen.
Yeah,
so you guys are hitting it.
That's what happens.
You're hitting it on. You're hitting some chords there.
Yeah, you know? That's what we call it, the Unity Tour. You know, and last night we were sold out in Santa Clarita, and you know, and I looked into the crowd, and it's just the most diverse. I mean, it looks as if you took sections of everywhere and put them together. Like, that's what it looks like. It's as diverse as possible. And with young, old, white, black, brown, purple, you know, people that don't like hip hop, people that, you know, don't like classical, and they're all coming to have a good time and, you know, and experience this at the same time. And, you know, we think about the gap we bridge where you have, like, you know, a little 6-year-old that listens to Drake and Nicki Minaj all day. And then you have someone that's like maybe 55-year-old that loves Brahms and Stravinsky.
That can recognize a Bach
together they sit next to each other, and like as we're playing, I could look at, you know, two people sitting next to each other, and one person has their eyes closed and they're just loving the strings, and right next to them it'd be like a kid, and they're just bobbing their head uncontrollably to the hip hop, and it's just about, we're playing the same thing but they feel it differently. And you know, just to be able to do that and have music that can relate.
Well, you
that
know
way.
as a I call myself now an old music teacher. You know, I was classically trained. I was a classically trained flutist, and I was a general music teacher and band teacher, even taught orchestra for a couple of years. Really shouldn't have been doing it, but that was the gig, right? So you went and did it. And you know, you guys represent what we really all want for all kids, a base of rigorous training. You might never go, you don't have to go off and be first chair and win the audition in the next professional orchestra or do the entrepreneurial thing you guys are doing. But this bass, I mean, we heard it from Keb Moe this morning. We heard from, you know, who played trumpet when he was 10 years old.
Yeah.
Who knew that? Did you know that about Keb Moe?
I didn't.
We really, you know, and Bernie's early childhood, you know, learning guitar from his dad. A bass, right? Yeah. And you guys, and when you have the bass, you just go.
Exactly. Yeah. And we just happened to, we took the bass and ran with it. You know what I mean? But it, like you said, it just, you start from somewhere and you don't know where it's going to end up, you know? And for us, we try to preach that it's not just, it may not even be music. It may not even be just an instrument. It could be just, you know, literature. You know, you want to be a doctor, you want to do anything. But it started from the arts, and the arts that allowed you to open your mind and dream big. You know what I'm saying? So
I think it's, you know, I opened up our grand rally this morning with my reflection about this movie we're all crazy about now, La La Land. If you guys haven't seen it,
you
got to take a minute on the road and go see it. Yeah. You know, it's really, but it's all about, there's a line in the movie that said, if you're going to do it, you got to give it your all.
Mm.
You know, and it was the whole theme of it. It's a music and an arts movie. You know, I think at an early age, you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can start early. You got to give it your all.
Got to.
And look where it's taken.
Yeah,
guys,
absolutely.
So you've got a tour and more albums coming.
Mm-hmm. All of that. Touring. You know, we're busy this year. To plenty of tour dates. Working on a new album right now.
I was going to ask.
I'm not sure if it'll come out this year, maybe the beginning of next year, but hopefully this year, if we can, you know, squeeze it and finish it during, you know, our off time on the road. And then, you know, we also score television shows in our off time too. So, you know, we just finished up season one of Pitch on Fox. Cool. So that was a good one. And just kind of spreading our wings and always trying to do different things and just evolve.
So where can they find you on the web and Facebook and all that stuff? How can people know?
Our website is blackviolin.net, and also our Facebook is Facebook.com/blackviolinmusic, and Instagram, Twitter, Black Violin.
They can find you everywhere. And you got two other really great musicians in your band.
Oh, yeah. Nat Stokes.
Tell us about them.
Nat Stokes and DJ SBS. I mean,
Nat Stokes is your drummer.
Mm-hmm. Nat Stokes is our drummer. Mm-hmm. He actually graduated at University of Miami. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. But he's incredible. Yeah. I mean, incredible, humble,
very musical.
I mean, and our DJ SBS, I mean, I can't say enough about this guy. I mean, he's a true, there's not a lot of DJs that uses their turntables as an instrument. You know what I mean? It's literally an instrument, the way that he's manipulating these tones, you know? So
I had that I've experienced a few DJs in my life, and right up from the, you know, the wedding DJ up to, you know.
Exactly.
But when I went to your gig and I heard him, it was for me one of the most musical interactions I had. I was just like so drawn to what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because it was combination of old fashioned too, because he was actually spinning vinyl.
Vinyl, exactly.
And then it had, it was just a really musical experience. Because again, for me, it's, you know, as the with the musical ear, it's about the highs and the lows and the quiets and the louds. It's about really, I often say I need more music with my music. And, you know, as a DJ, I got that.
Yeah, I got a lot of music with.
Definitely.
So it was really
great. They're both
incredible.
Yeah.
So you're together for a while.
Yeah. These are our guys. And we just, you know, try to take over the world one stage at a time. Yeah. You know, that's the idea.
One string at a time.
That's the idea.
And I think with that great statement, we're going to leave our time together. And I thank you so much for being here at the NAMM. Let's make this an annual.
That sounds good to me.
Okay? In some way, we've got a big stage out there, too.
I'd love to do it.
You know, there's a main stage.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, well, you know, Bernie Williams was on our main stage last night with Keb Moe, and that was as a celebration for the NAMM Foundation.
Oh, wow.
So who knows, folks? Maybe we need a...
We'd love to come back.
We think about all that. So I thank Black Violin, these fantastic musicians and their wonderful creativity and commitment coming out of rigorous music education, being great ambassadors for it. Maybe we need to get you to Washington, too. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, definitely. That would be fun. 4 years ago today, we were at the inauguration performing for President Obama. So it'd be nice to go back maybe in a different capacity.
To advocate for everything that we're talking about. I thank you all for joining us on Talking at Music Education here on January 21st at the NAMM Show. Wonderful conversation and wrapping up a fantastic morning with Top Black Violins at our Grand Rally for Music Education. Have a great day, and thanks for joining us for Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
The NAMM Foundation would like to thank Vocal Booth for their support in providing a recording booth for these podcasts recorded live at NAMM 2017. Whether you're recording, rehearsing, tracking, mixing, or overdubbing, Vocal Booth has a solution that's right for you. Learn more at vocalbooth.com. Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Namm. That's Mary L-N-A-M-M.